Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
To watch Eminem soundcheck with nobody in the stadium and maybe 12 production people, including myself, stage left for an entire hour, go through every one of his hits, blew my effing mind.
That's cool. That's neat.
That is cool. That is very cool. I should point out that both Rob and mine were somewhat fan interactive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on right now.
You were at Raffles.
Yeah, but she was a big fan.
let me finish with this.
Okay.
Oh no! Are you going to take it back down again? Because I just brought
Mike,
it up.
Mike, get another poem
You're
ready.
You're a serious young man, and I respect that.
Get another poem ready.
All right, I have it standing by.
Okay. Go ahead.
I gotta save my segment.
Go ahead.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are a cutting-edge podcast that tackles the issues of the day. And we have, a lot of people throw darts at me and say that I am not a hipster.
Right.
That I am not versed in contemporary music. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look you in the eye and say nothing could be further from the truth. That's why as soon as I became aware of Ethan's theory on Nipsey Hussle, I wanted to get him right in here and talk about this. Now,
Man was gunned down, Mike.
Over the decades, the rap wars, East Coast, West Coast, always controversial. There's been a lot of reflecting on Tupac and Biggie Smalls and just the, when I watch that, it tells me these are young guys, except for, when you look at Suge Knight, what's he, 90 now?
He's on 92, Mike, yeah.
And away for a long time after running a person down with his car. But,
yes. In a drive-thru.
It was terrible.
Which was and, an oxymoron,
video.
An oxymoron.
You don't want to do it on video anyway. But anyway, it's been going on for a long time. The latest, I don't know the details. Ethan wanted to come in and talk about it.
There's a conspiracy theory behind this murder, Mike.
Well, how did the murder, he was gunned down, right? Was he in a car? Was he on the street? Where did it happen? Where did the murder happen?
He was at his own clothing store.
And somebody walked into his clothing store and shot him to death?
I believe it was outside of his clothing store.
All right, turn Ethan up a little bit, please, Rob, if you can.
I'm rubbing my headphones.
It goes on and on and on. And this is, before you give us your theory on this, I mean, this is young people, by and large, beefs with each other that just are almost manufactured. You know what I mean? Where it's a slight here, a slight there. I remember that back in the day when you really thought about, that you'd go to award shows and there would almost be a fist fight breaking out at an award show because somebody said, we did it first and we created it first.
The Soul
and
Train Awards.
It really is. What are you? Chew. What's going on?
And didn't Nipsey Hussle? Wasn't his reputation? He had the reputation of being a good guy.
He was a good guy. He was a reputation as an entrepreneur for somebody who would. Give the community what they
gave
needed.
Back. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened and, why do you think it happened? I know there are a lot of people speculating on, it can be money. It can be turf. It can be a lot of different things.
I definitely don't think it had anything to do with money or fame or anything like
that. I was shocked by this because I thought that it was a turf war.
Right, but it wasn't. It had nothing to do with gang affiliation or none of that. We believe that Dr. Sabi, the documentary that he was coming out with for that documentary, Dr. Sabi, who had the cure for AIDS and cancer and then was actually assassinated at the age of 82, I believe. And we believe that there is a connection between the two, his death, Dr. Sabi's death, and the documentary.
Well, he was working on a documentary.
Nipsey Hussle.
Yes, about Dr. Sabi, right? Yes, Sabi.
So he was outside of the rap world,
yes.
And it wasn't music. This was something that was movie making.
Yes. All right. So, but movie making off what was, you know, a real.
Why did they assassinate? Why was the doctor assassinated?
Because he had a cure for something that actually is profitable for medical care.
So the
I don't put anything by anybody as far as true. You know, when you're talking about a doctor getting murdered, geez,
a running theory is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ethan, because we had a nice back and forth about it, because it blew my mind and I did a little research and I was like, there's a lot of material on this, and is that Dr. Sabi had a cure for some, for what the big pharma didn't want to come out, and the government and big pharma are allegedly, according to these theories, behind not just that murder, but the murder of Nipsey Hussle and the murder of Lisa Left Eye Lopez from TLC. And if you're sitting at home, be like, who? Well, you're right, because half the people listening right now don't know what we're talking about, but these are legends in the hip hop world, correct?
Correct. Because Left Eye was actually in a car accident after she had
Ethan showed the quote marks like maybe it's not really a car accident.
I can't be for sure. There's no.
Now turn him down. Now he's too loud.
I'm sorry, Mike.
It's not.
No, you're
your
fine.
Fault.
You're fine. There's somebody that's supposed to be running the board on the other side who's not. But go ahead, please.
So I can't say that my conspiracy theory is correct. I can't say that it is a theory at
all. You don't think it's tied? You're not sure if it's tied together, but it could be.
Yeah, but who's to say it's not, Mike? Who's going to put the system on trial?
But I thought I'd bring Ethan in because I like Ethan, and it dovetails into my. Is that it? Is that your theory?
Yeah, that's my theory. But I think we need to talk about what Nipsey Hussle was to the black community as well.
All right. Oh, you know what? He's an assertive man. You know what you just did to the host who was going to move on to another subject? You backed me into a corner. All right. Talk about Nipsey Hussle. Go ahead.
Nipsey Hussle was a person who actually gave back to his community in a large amount. He actually was taking back the street named Crenshaw. Crenshaw was the street that he was working on. He had the clothing store that was on that block. He had 18.
Where's Crenshaw? Where is Crenshaw Street?
L.A. It's in L.A.
Okay. All right. So he's
South Central L.A.
All right.
Yep. So he was actually taking back Crenshaw street by art. Block by block, and he actually owned 18 businesses for throughout the block, and he had a lot of them given back to the community so that they could start their own thing. He also created a community center that was based on STEM studies, so the youth was learning about how to use technological advancements to go back and figure out how to heal and solve sickle cell. So that's another disease that was pulled into the part that he was working on as well.
Let me tell you why I'm just happy that I said stay and talk about that, because you know I had no idea, and the mainstream
talk.
It's another black man gunned down, a rapper, and that's where it would end, and you don't hear it in the news that much. You know, they're talking about Boeing airplanes every day. And I had no idea. So when you're talking about a good guy, you're talking about, you know, I think people tend to paint with broad brushes and say, oh, rapper, gunned down, must have been something like that. And then you mention everything and you're talking about STEM, science, technology, you know.
Oh, God. Okay. Let me give you something else. He was also, he was an ex-con. He was a Crip. But to give back to those people who wanted to change their life the way that he did, he gave them the information of stocks and bonds to ex-cons, ex-gang members, and was actually taking them out of their hood, out of their, not out of their hood, but out of their situation, and teaching them about the educational process that they need so that they can better their lives.
Could that have been one of the reasons?
There are so many reasons tied to him.
I mean, if he was from that background and people get jealous and people get bitter, there's a chance that that could happen in that situation.
Yes, it's very well possible.
But he was doing some good stuff.
Right.
He was doing some good stuff.
But the thing is, there is a very low possibility that somebody will, there is a low possibility that somebody would come out in broad daylight in a beloved town that he's beloved in and at, under his store with his kid there to just gun him down.
And you think it's big pharma?
I don't think it's anybody.
I'm just throwing a theory out. You know, it's not just the origin stories aren't with Ethan. This theory has grown hair, but it's been around for some time. How these luminaries in the hip hop world fall early if they get involved in this other world of really not just mobilizing,
making a difference,
but trying to make a difference, especially in this world that surrounds Dr. Sebi.
So now there's news of a suspect that has been come out, and there's a name and a photograph of the person.
Now they had a suspect that was announced today or yesterday.
Right. But the thing along that line is, I don't think that's where the story ends, because let's date this back to the Black Panther movement. There was a person who infiltrated the Black Panther. It was paid by the FBI.
His name was Forrest Gump. No?
Different no, guy. That's no, a fictitious no, character.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's where you get most of your history is that movie.
Sorry, that movie right. taught me a lot. Yeah. I'm an immigrant. I came here and watched movies.
Yeah, but it did teach him about Watergate, too. I mean, yes. it's a great yes. launch
all
pad right. for
all
Oscar.
The President's Men. Check that out.
Yes.
I don't know where the yes. conversation went.
You got to keep mowing along. You got to keep mowing
don't
try, along.
Don't
forget
worry
about
it.
Keep mowing
it's
along.
Like it's really it's like taking a it's like going to a like an insane asylum for about 1 minute. That's the way we talk. So yes,
I just don't believe that it's unlikely that somebody could have been paid to shoot him and then take the blame for it.
I don't either. I don't either. Right. I mean, but you know, if they prove that this guy was the trigger man in this situation,
he's the one going
usually,
down.
That's usually a pretty quick way to know where the connections are. And, right. you know, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But it sounds like this is a guy who did change his life, was trying to help his community in South Central and lost his life. And I'm glad that that's something I wouldn't have known unless you came in.
Thank you for sharing that,
man.
You
know, of course.
I consider that, you know, my deed of the day. And it'll make up for the rest of the crap I do on this show starting now. Including, you know, Rob will now, for counterpoint, offer a few minutes on Nipsey Russell.
Yes, he was a game show regular.
Do you know this, Ethan?
No,
do you
I don't
know this?
Nipsey Russell.
He oftentimes Nipsey Hussle, spoke in
you're
rhyme.
The guy, and I would. There's no way that that Crenshaw changed his name to Nipsey Hussle without knowing of right. It had
oh, that
to
had
be.
To be has to be
has right?
to be
it had
an
to
homage
be because of
an
Nipsey
homage,
Russell.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nipsey Russell.
I don't know
was
Nipsey Russell either, but I'm willing to learn.
Well, Rob, please, a primer on it, and then we will wrap this segment up. And right now, there are many people that are hipper than me shaking their head and going, oh, you ass.
No, no, no.
But we have to
You've
mention Nipsey.
Segment.
No, I'm not ruining the subject. That we go any direction on
yes,
this show.
Yes, yes,
we go in any
Nipsey
direction.
Russell actually was, he was groundbreaking. He was one of the first black comics to have a regular role on television. He played the switchboard operator on Car 54, Where Are You? Back in the late 50s.
I love this show. Everybody brings their part. It's great.
But he was perhaps best known as a game show regular. He did Match Game. I remember him a lot on Pyramid. And his standard shtick was doing poetry. Short, brief poems. And I think I can recall one if I try real hard. And it goes
well,
like
if you can recall one, wouldn't you rather have me deliver it?
Yeah, I would, actually.
Because I happen to do a Nipsey Russell
A wonderful
impression.
Nipsey Russell impression, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let me talk, just give a few more, talk about the game show thing, and
okay.
I'll get a poem.
Now, game shows aren't a big thing now, but when I was growing up,
it's not like Monopoly, it's games on television.
Yeah, there were game shows on television, and they were the mainstay, the staples of daytime television. Now, Match Game has come back in the evening, so you might be familiar with that, but are you familiar at all with the $20,000 pyramid?
No.
Okay, it was hosted by Dick Clark. And what would happen is you'd pick a category on the wall. Let's say it's like Santana time.
Isn't the $1 million pyramid more relevant than the $20,000 pyramid?
Well, there was all different amounts.
Yeah, but isn't the $1 million pyramid the most recent?
I don't think it's. I think now it's just called pyramid. I don't think it's ever been a million.
All right.
But let's say you pick the category all about Oscar, and they turn a box around and it would say, describe these things that have to do with Oscar. And then you describe it to, and I'll just play it off the top of my head. You be the guy that I'm describing to, okay? It's like, I'm describing things that have to do with Oscar. This is the name of Oscar's wife.
Shannon.
Okay. This is what Oscar does to his beard twice a week so it stays black.
Eyes it.
Ding. Yeah, exactly. Oscar has a dog, and the dog's name is?
Santos.
That's right.
Ding.
And Oscar is particularly a jerk when he wears a?
Vest. Or
sports coat.
Sports coat.
Ding. Oh, but you see, but you gave it away, so then they go. No, they would do the little, the cuckoo noise. And then at the end, they sort of flipped it. And when you played the actual end of the pyramid game, it would be a category, like it would be a...
An inverted pyramid?
Sort of, yeah. Mm. An inverted talk pyramid. Mm. And so
now that we've explained that, all right, I think that... All right, now, would you like to hear my impression of Nipsey Russell reading one of Nipsey Russell's classic poems?
Yes.
I love this.
The girl who would make my life complete need not be young and fair. Just be a nymphomaniac. And a multi-millionaire.
Bingo.
I love that Nipsey Russell.
That was comedy in the 60s and 70s.
No, oh, you know what? That's comedy today, goddammit. That's comedy today.
What he is, that's you know what that is, Oscar? That was Nipsey's brand.
Okay.
That was his brand. Okay. And he was still a game, he was a great game show contestant and a personality.
What is the secret of eternal youth? The answer is easily told. All you got to do if you want to look young is hang out with people who are old.
There you go, Nipsey Russell.
I'm sorry. Look at them
you
shaking
guys
their
the
heads.
Worst.
No, we are the worst. You know what? I'm sorry. That's a tribute to
also,
the
Also, Nipsey Russell wore the biggest collars. He had huge collars.
Wasn't it a sign of the times?
It was a sign of the times, but he took it the next step. That's
Ethan,
why.
How do you feel about your segment on Nipsey Hussle now that you've been on the program? Now you've learned about Nipsey Russell.
Let me finish with this.
Okay.
Oh no! Are you going to take it back down again? Because I just brought
Mike,
it up.
Get another poem
You're
ready.
You're a serious young man, and I respect that.
Get another poem ready.
All right, I have it standing by.
Okay. Go ahead.
I gotta save my segment.
Go ahead. He needs
That's
us for
it.
His reel.
We're quitting while we're ahead. Start the show,
reel.
Rob Spiewak. We're fine.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You're going to marry my brother Johnny.
Yeah, would you like to go someplace so we could...
I have no life. My brother Johnny took my life from me.
I don't understand you.
And now he's getting married. He has his. He's getting his. And he wants me to come.
What is life?
You know, I didn't come here to upset you.
They say bread is life. And I bake bread, and I sweat and shovel this stinking dough in and out of this hot hole in the wall, and I should be so happy. Huh, sweetie? Chrissy?
Sweetie?
Over by the wall. Bring me the big knife.
No, Ronnie.
Bring me the big knife. I'm gonna cut my throat.
Maybe I should come back another time.
No, I want you to see this. I want you to watch me kill myself so you can tell my brother Johnny on his wedding day, okay? Look. This wood is fake. 5 years ago, I was engaged to be married, and Johnny came in here. And he ordered bread for me. And I said, oh, okay, some bread. And I put my hand in the slicer, and it got caught because I wasn't paying attention. The slicer chewed off my hand. It's funny, because when my fiance found out about it, when she found out that I'd been maimed, she left me for another man.
That's the bad blood between you and Johnny?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, but that's not Johnny's fault.
I don't care! I ain't no freaking monument to justice! I lost my hand!
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital. The Mike O'Mara Show on right now from Columbia, Maryland to Keystone, Colorado, from Faraday, Louisiana to Stockton, California, from Braselton, Georgia to Phuket, Thailand. Oh. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our bonus packages. Are you familiar with REM? I'm sorry,
no,
I was
no,
doing
no,
my
not
Rapid
that.
Eye Movement.
No,
not Rapid Eye Movement. I mean, of course, the popular rock and roll band from Athens, Georgia. As they once sang, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Do you want to feel fine, too?
I do.
Then subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. The amazing extra content and bonus laughter will bring you great joy. I literally told people about our bonus show and Oscar's friend cuddling.
Yes!
For the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And then I got a guy down here who I spoke about yesterday who's listening to the show, who works down here, who said, I'm halfway through the cuddling segment. I said, you got to stick to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oscar has a great kicker with that.
A wonderful ending.
Which it was. But that's the bonus show. And that's what we give you because we give and give and give and give. And that's what we do every weekend. So you can have a weekend where you can talk about something, too.
Sure.
Even as we face a near certain fiery apocalypse. It's a magical sixth episode of TMOS that you can grab every week.
if you have the intelligence to do so. And if you don't, subscribe, you're a dick. There it is. Remember, the future of the show depends on it, so please buy our thing. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. Now, you wonder why I'm telling you this at the beginning of the show and not the end like we always do, because it's important this time of year to remind you to get the bonus show. That's why we do that. That's keeping this little ship afloat on our little sea of comedy. Did Ethan feel like he got all of his stuff he wanted to?
I thought that was his best segment. On the show, period, this semester.
I just want you to know, Ethan, if you're listening in the back room, I have to tell you that, what was that?
It was me. I missed a button misstroke. My bad.
Okay. I want to tell Ethan in the back room that I unearthed the treasure trove of Nipsey Russell poems that have nothing to do with Nipsey Hussle, but they are phenomenal.
Yeah. How many
are
there?
Can I just get it out of my system and give you one more, please?
How many are there?
Well, they're a bunch. They're just, they're all
you
listed.
You have the mermaid
here.
One?
No, don't compete. It's going to be horrible if you want to do
I won't
it
compete.
Too.
I don't want to.
I do the Nipsey Russell impression.
Now, listen,
I know
it's
you
not
wanna
competition.
Do it last word,
no,
but it is to
no,
you.
No, I just want to hear
do.
You
it's
do it.
It's what you did to your father in the back of the car. This is, what did he say when you were driving on long trips?
He said, one of these days. No, he said.
I'm going to leave.
We're going to play the Be Quiet game.
The Be Quiet game.
And let's see if you can win that.
One more, and then we can go back, all right? All right. Would you like the school teacher one?
Yes. If you ever go out with a school teacher, you're in for a sensational night. She'll make you do it over and over again until you do it right.
I didn't know he had so many of them.
Oh, thousands of them, yeah.
Oh, God. Wow.
I got a new girlfriend. No guy could ask for more. She's deaf, dumb, over six, and owns a liquor store.
All right, that's it. I'm done.
Different type of comedy. Yes, okay.
Yeah. Okay, we get that it's a different type of comedy. And Todd Moore is a different kind of friend.
What was the mermaid one?
No, let's move on.
Come on.
Say it like you. You read it like you.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me see. This is from memory, so I have to do it from memory.
Just do it.
Some people say it's great to date a mermaid. And that's a fact indeed. There's not enough fish to fry and not enough woman to eat. No, that's not it. I don't know. I got screwed.
Oh, after all that? Oh, my
Boo.
God.
Sorry.
Boo. Boo.
Where's the crowd? Oh, my
Boo
God.
This
that's
man.
Terrible. Look at that. The crowd is responding terribly to that. It's terrible.
Somehow, I remembered it as being better.
You know all what? That for that.
I can't help who I am, and that's. I apologize to Ethan for turning that into some sort of thing with Nipsey Russell. That
was fine.
Let's open up the mailbag. All right, get it out of the way so we can do that. And I had a couple of sample calls I wanted to play for the Yak Shack, which we'll do more of tomorrow, and we'll do that if we get to it. And Rob wants to talk about something that I forgot already, but we'll do that too.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's a very busy show.
Busy.
This
very
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be here. And by the way, one of my things on my show prep was, interns, where are they? Well, there's a classic example. I've seen Ethan.
Yes.
I don't even know if any other interns exist.
Oh, so, they do.
They were thick as thieves yesterday, Mike.
Interns
tighter, brighter if you're listening. Pleasure. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Rob Seek asks, what are the quick music or sounds played right before the news and the audio vault called? I'm thinking bumper, but not sure. I need to know for an ad script. Thanks.
Is it stingers?
I would call them elements.
Imaging.
Yeah, they're not even imaging as much, because imaging is more of a top 40 radio station where you'd get the
bumpers,
the music,
yeah.
Bumpers.
And bumper is they're elements that production elements.
That's exactly what they are.
Production elements.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what it is. Thank you, Rob, for calling in. Next letter. Hey, I am curious to know the title of the song played for the mailbag theme. The lyrics are, write me a letter. It's Mills Brothers, correct?
No, it's actually a band called The Ravens. It's an
write
obscure...
Write me a letter because I'm lonesome as a man can be.
And it's an obscure record, but the best place you can find it, there's a soundtrack they put out. You can download it for the series they did on HBO, the miniseries about Elvis called Elvis Presley, The Searcher. That's half Elvis music and half period music, and you can find it there.
Okay.
Period music. Sorry.
What is the matter with you?
Send that to this house this week.
Oh.
All right. God. I'm sorry. I just feel like we were so well behaved in the first segment, and now I want to be bad.
You're an 80s shock jock.
You are.
And by the way, the guy that sent this letter in, I've tried looking it up based on the lyrics, but we gave it to you. But Google's not able to determine what it is. Thanks, Michael Jackson. I'm so sorry.
Maybe not the guy you're thinking of. Yeah. Write me a letter by the Ravens.
Mm. Okay. Next letter says, hello, I just wanted to wish my amazing husband, Kirk Partika, the happiest of birthdays. It's tomorrow. He listens to your show every day on his way to work. Thank you, Cindy Partika. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hope they partika in some nookie this weekend.
Oh, look out. Again with
I'm
the shock
trying to sound. Now I'm trying to sound like an old dirty comic.
Yeah, it's Mike the Love Sponge.
Yes. Thank you very much. Mike Clem. Dear Mailbag.
I forgot his last name.
This week marks 27 years that Mike and Rob have been broadcasting together. Wow, somebody knew. Oh, you knew.
Yeah.
April 3rd, 1992.
Yeah, that was my first day with you guys.
Wow. You know what's weird when you get old? 1992 doesn't sound like a long time ago.
But it is.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It's a tremendously long time ago.
I might have been in fifth grade. No. Sixth grade? Yeah.
Thanks. So please to be telling us what backstage live show experience is the most memorable for each of you in the last 27 years and why. That's Dirk Vastrick who wrote that.
Mike, just to put in perspective really quick, you know, 92 doesn't seem like a long time ago. It was 27 years ago. 27 years before 1992, think of this, 1965. That's the span of time that we've been together. From 1965 to 1992, it's the same amount of time. And that seems like an eon.
Time.
Now I understand. I understand it. It's not a radio, probably not a 92 on thing. It's earlier than that. But my backstage experience, would being a club DJ in the DJ booth, would that be backstage?
Sure. Yeah.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to tell that story, but
a bonus show story?
It could be a bonus show story. Right. But you know why I don't like telling the story? Because it's just not appropriate for a man my age to tell the story.
Right. Gotcha.
So I can tell it by completely sanitizing it. I'll tell it right here.
Okay.
I'm a club DJ working at the Gaithersburg Marriott Hotel.
Mm-mm-mm.
We had one of the hottest nightclubs in all of Montgomery County, and the DJ booth inside of this nightclub, this bar called Raffles 2, was up on the top level of a sunken dance floor. It was way up on top. Mm-hmm. You had to go up the stairs, up another row of stairs, and then up the final stairs where a big glass DJ booth with a door and everything. It was fantastic. And I controlled a video screen, and I had my music up there, and it was fantastic. And everybody knew the DJ was up there. And at one particular evening, A lady wanted to hear Smokey Robinson.
Mm.
And she wanted to hear Smokey Robinson so badly that she made an offer to me to play Smokey Robinson. I refused the offer. And I should point out that I had, in those days when you played vinyl, I had my vinyl records underneath the console.
Sure.
And she said, well, can I look at the records? And when she went to look at the records, as I was spinning the records, she inadvertently wanted to do what she had offered. And then at that point, you can get to a situation where sometimes you're just, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And
you don't want to be a bad host.
Well, but it was awkward. And then I see a manager walking across the dance floor, and it stopped, and that was it. And I told the manager what had happened or what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, it was the go-go 80s. And he said, well, if I'd known that, I would have said, you know, salute to you. But nothing ever happened. She never returned, thank God,
yes,
to the disc jockey booth. There, that's the story. That's did
awkward.
I sanitize that?
Yeah,
really.
It's awkward. It's
mine doesn't sizzle quite like that.
Thank you.
But mine goes back
to
the first State Theater appearance.
Sorry, Just telling it like it
gross,
is. Okay?
Right? Gross,
right?
Hey, yeah, you know
okay,
what? It's
thanks,
great,
Oscar.
You know what,
you're
Mike?
Just going to sit there and throw darts all day long, okay?
At least he's not diminishing the poetry anymore. Now he's
I'm
on to
old,
diminishing his story.
I'm gross. I know. Thank you very much for solidifying my image.
How you doing, Pony? You all right?
The,
I'm great.
The
Pony's
first
turned on.
Yeah, he is. Pony just dropped a resume off in Gaithersburg. We have... Mike, and I think you'll remember this too. It was
story tells much better after over a bunch of drinks.
Before we, right before we did our first state theater show, and we were in the dressing room, and we hadn't done a live show as the podcast yet. It was our first sort of debut.
I'm with you. This is the real greatest moment. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on this.
And it was tense. It was nerve wracking because we had sold out the show, but we didn't know how we would be received, and we got word from down there because the. Dressing room at the State Theater is up many stairs.
Yes.
So we got word from the floor that people were lining up. And we said, no, they're not. And they said, yeah. And we looked out these ancient windows, and around the back of the theater, the line had circled the entire theater. And in the end of the line were guys, and they were doing the Scott Shannon bit. Yep. I mean, just reciting it and loud that it was echoing through the alley of the theater.
Window green, peppermint, and traditional five
so cool.
flavor.
And we opened the windows.
So nice
we were
Such
able
nice
to hear
moment.
It. Yeah. And it gave me, and I think Mike will agree, it gave us that little bit of incentive that we were on the right track and we had a great yep. night. But it was a very, very special moment. That was.
That's mm-hmm. sweet. Mine is...
Well, you were there.
Yeah, we've had some great, fantastic memories on our road show, especially when we were in Reno. Or right. when we were in, you know, even Las Vegas this last trip. But behind the scenes, I feel like the behind the scenes for Team OS, we talk about it on there all the time.
Yeah, true, true.
The one that really caught me by surprise as a younger broadcaster was at a WHF festival when it was the first time they did two-a-days for WHFS, where we had 2 days, and they had brought in, at the apex of his fame, Eminem,
yeah.
to close the festival. It was always a large name. They've had Jay-Z, mm-hmm. but at that point it was Eminem. And to watch Eminem soundcheck with nobody in the stadium and maybe 12 production people, including myself, stage left for an entire hour, go through every one of his hits, blew my effing mind.
That's cool. That's neat.
That is cool. That is very cool. I should point out that both Rob and mine were somewhat fan interactive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on right now.
You were at Raffles.
Yeah, but she was a big fan.
That was hip and cool. Hi. Jeez, he's in that mode today.
He is.
Yeah. Good story. I heard sound checks too. Hi, Mike. I know you must get homesick for
Sorry,
your
we're
beloved.
All, we're all wearing at a DJ booth.
Now,
oh,
stop
now that's
it.
Nice. That's nice. That's really nice. I spend all that time
you
trying
did not
to do
dance
that.
Dance around it. That was a funny part.
All right. Hi, Mike. I know you must get homesick for your beloved Devil Town, so I'm attaching an actual news story, based on a police report.
I found
Here we
this
go.
So delightful, Mike. I think you too will enjoy this.
Dateline Manassas, Virginia. Authorities are looking for someone who apparently tried to tunnel in...
Oh, no.
For looking for someone who apparently tried to tunnel into a home. Tuesday, March 26th, on the 7,000 block of Somerset Lane, according to Prince William County Police. The homeowner reported seeing an unknown person inside an attached shed to the residence. It turns out an above-ground hole had been dug from inside the shed to the home. Jesus. No entry was made into the home, and no items were reported missing. My only question to you is, what is an above-ground hole?
Exactly.
Please advise and thank you. Philip Layton.
In Manassas?
Oh, yeah, wow. And I also love the notion, Mike, of an attached shed.
Right.
Not actually
See, now
part
because
of the building.
Oscar's accused me of being dirty and inappropriate. I have a joke for what is an above ground hole.
Mike, what is
but
an above ground
hole? I won't be able to.
You can't.
No, I can't do it now. I can't. Well, it's nothing you wouldn't have found at O'Mara's on a Friday night. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Gentlemen,
yes.
I'd like to wish a very happy 40th birthday to my twin brother, Doug Moore. We've listened and talked about your show endlessly since we were young teenagers. Thank you for all of the laughs during the good times and bad. Wade Moore, Wade Moore.
Wade Moore.
So we've got Doug Moore and Wade Moore, the Moore brothers.
Yeah, the Moore twins.
Mm. The Moore the Moore twins.
I think the first time I met the Moore twins, Mike, is when they were digging that above ground hole.
He didn't make it into the house.
No, well, he didn't, and he didn't take anything. That's what I love about Wade.
He didn't make it into the basement.
Wow.
He stayed in the shed.
Hey, Mike and the gang, like you, too, I am an avid golf fan and have been playing a fun little word game lately, trying to decide which is the most Silver Spoon Country Club born on third base name in golf today. Funny.
Yes.
Based solely just on the name, not judging the character of the player. I would love your expert opinion. Here are my top draft picks. These are true names of pro golfers.
He did great work.
Should I go from bottom to top? Or, no, I'll do them all.
Do them in order. Yeah.
Hudson Swafford. Harris English. So true. Chesson Hadley. Chesson, would you rub my toes?
What is this above ground hole, Chesson?
Xander Schauffele. Charles Howell III.
Oh, my
favorite.
God.
My favorite.
Keegan Bradley.
Ah. Oh.
One of mine, and he looks like it and acts like it. Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, dear.
Brooks Koepka. And Wyndham Clark. We have Wyndham. More on the next page.
Wyndham.
Patrick Cantlay.
Oh.
Webb Simpson.
Webb.
Just won a big tournament.
Yes.
No, that may be another guy. I don't know. Cameron Champ. Long hitter, that Cameron Champ. Big hitter.
Big hitter.
Big hitter, the Cameron. Patton Kizzire. Or Kizzire. Kizzire. Bryce Garnett. Bo Hostler. That's the only one I would take issue with.
Yeah.
That sounds like, not a blue blood name. That's a, hey, Bo. Bo, and if you saw Bo Hostler, be like, ah, how to do. Cameron Tringali and Grayson Murray. Thoughts. Thanks for all you do, Earl Hoford. The thoughts are, Earl, that you aced it with that list of players.
But I will say this. Earl, you're not fooling me. I know that's a fake name. Stop it.
But the ultimate blue blood name is Bubba Watson. No, it's not.
He doesn't look like a blue blood, right?
No, but he doesn't. That's not a blue blood. No.
Justin. What's
Justin? Justin Thomas is kind of plain.
I feel like that's like a DJ name.
Jordan Spieth is another kind of blue blood, and he is a blue blood.
Bingo.
There we go. So good letters. Thank you very much. We will take a break, and we have started the show. I'm totally lost, and we'll come right back after this. Everybody,
on this season of The Real Interns of Podcast Village.
Hi, I'm Allison, and it was either this internship or street performing and hoping people will throw change in my guitar case. The decision was harder than you think.
I'm Johnny, and I work here because I can afford to work for free.
I'm Ethan, but everyone calls me Adobe Creative Suite because this place couldn't run without me.
And I'm Dahlia, and I'm the bitch turn.
This season, the interns will learn the ropes of production and the chaos it comes with. Stay up to date with the interns at MikeOMaraShow.com and buy the bonus package.
I'd like to. I want to see Dahlia the bitch turn. When's the next time Dahlia the bitch turn comes in?
She's a Monday intern, right? Yeah, she'll be in on Monday. We'll have her booker in studio on Monday.
Thank you. And the other ones, too.
Johnny.
And I'm turning into Jerry Seinfeld.
Do you want to meet Johnny?
It's always Ethan. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara, brought to you for the Mike O'Mara Show. Excuse me. Getting fit and staying healthy is always easier said than done, right?
Yes, it's true.
Am I right?
Yes, right.
Right, right, right,
right,
right, right,
right.
Open Fit makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. Let the workouts come to you. View it and do it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or Roku anytime, anywhere. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it's personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. And I will tell you, I have never, and I'm not just blowing smoke, I've never seen my wife look better.
Yeah.
She, as she would tell me, She has had times in her life where she lost more weight, gained more weight, worked out, didn't work out. She is now on a program where she's just so incredibly fit and flexible, and it's all because of these sessions she's getting on OpenFit. You can lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days, flatten your abs, shape your body, look and feel great. OpenFit has changed the way Oscar works out as well.
Yes.
With the code TMOS, you can do it. You can join him on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use the code TMOS and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text TMOS to 303030. You will get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, all you have to do is text TMOS to 303030, and we thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show. Rob, you wanted to talk about your trip to school today, or do you want to talk about...
Well, I'll be speaking at Mason today at two classes, George Mason University, but it might be better to discuss it after it happens so we know what happened. But I would like to say that I got a call from the general manager and pretty much the grand poobah of the Washington, D.C. branch of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And she was absolutely thrilled that I snagged the last booking and will be spending Sunday night at Madame Tussauds Wax
this
Museum.
This Sunday.
Is she aware? Is she aware of your stature in the community?
Well, I believe she is because, as you know, we spoke to her on the bonus show. And if, by the way, folks, if you didn't listen to last week's bonus show, it was half about cuddling.
Oh, same lady then.
Yeah.
So I didn't know we talked to the poobah. I thought she was like a PR flag.
No, we straight up.
Yeah, they took us right to the top. And she won't actually be there for the overnight, but she gave me a contact number.
Hey, sorry, killer.
Well, you know.
Sorry about that.
I plan to stand very still and see how close they get to me.
The wax figures?
No, the lady. I was gonna pretend I was a wax figure.
I was just doing it, and then you had to dip it in. There we go.
But they said the lady that I can contact to let know that it's going to go okay, and they explained a little bit how it works. There are going to be four beds set up in the main hall.
This is fantastic.
This is
are we going to take video of this?
Oh, yeah. This is so horrifying, and they were they said they're very clear. They said
this really should be a... This should be a video, like a little mini movie. Absolutely. This should be a little mini movie that we make available. And we'll talk about it after the show. But we've got it because
We will all have the ability to capture video.
Little more than that. Like sending somebody in there with you. I don't think you should have to think about anything technical at all. I think you.
Well, Rob, we do have Spiewak, a fourth bed.
There you go.
Rob Spiewak, you should simply be...
horrified.
The subject of the evening.
Yes.
And not fake it, just to be, you know. I mean, I don't know how we can do night vision and stuff. I'd like this to be when they, you know, when they go to Survivor and they go back to the camp.
Under his shoes, he's like, they're all here.
Man.
Like,
we got interns.
Well, I've already put
together a bitch turn. I want to do this off the air. Okay. I want to do this off the air.
But on air, you should know the crew that is going to be joining me, and it's from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. They say they have access to a bathroom but no shower, which is terrific. They're going to provide breakfast and a swag bag. I'm not sure what's in a wax museum swag bag, but I know it'll
be. Can you bring your own chow and beverages to the wax museum?
There is no alcohol allowed.
We'll see about that.
But that's, you know.
Canceled.
That's okay.
Canceled.
You know, but you can go out and tune up a little bit, and then go in.
We've already planned to have dinner early before we head to the wax museum.
Okay,
me and my crew, Rob Ford.
Hold on, let me get the dinger out here. Rob. What's the thing where the we're used to the dun,
oh dun, the match game? I don't have that.
Yeah, all right, Rob Ford. All right, so you got
and
Rob Ford,
Matthew Ponyboy Bloom.
Woo! Matt's going. Ponyboy's going.
Which both of them are so much more excited and into it and not horrified than me.
And Pony, what do you think? Are you looking forward to your night at the museum?
I'm looking forward to seeing Rob's night at the museum, really.
Right.
So, that'll be fun.
You're, you're going to have the, are you going to have the run of the place, or are they giving you only one room?
Well, it's in the grand hall, which is like the big, and we have someone who is like our attendant, is from what I understand. I'll find out more today when I speak to the lady. But the thing that is really to me.
So you have three when you were allowed four. That means the fourth can be a camera videographer. Guy.
Yeah. I went to my son, and my son went to the wax museum on a field trip, I think when he was in seventh grade. And I said, Robert, you remember that wax museum you went to in Washington, D.C. in seventh grade? He said, yeah. I said, guess what? I have gotten the opportunity to spend the night, overnight, sleep in the wax museum, and I have a space for you. How would you like to spend a night in the museum? He said, no way.
No way.
Shut me down. Absolutely shut me down. Because you know what? Even if you're okay with going to a wax museum in fully daylit, surrounded by people, circumstances, which I'm not, but many people are, I think still the notion of an abandoned wax museum in the overnight is the stuff nightmares are built on.
Sure.
And so I don't think he was into it. Mm-mm.
All right. So you get, is there a cutoff time when you have to arrive? Do they, are they
8
very specific?
Check-in.
About-
they were specific. An 8 a.m. check-in.
8 a.m.?
No, I'm sorry. 8 p.m. check-in, 8 a.m. check-out. 12 hours of horror.
So wait a minute. 8 p.m. and you have to be there, or could you get there at like midnight?
Great question.
They asked me to be there at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Are you locked in?
I imagine if you made enough of a fuss, they might leave you, let you get out.
No, but, just because, you know.
You check in and check out.
Yeah, you check out at 8.
I'm sure it's a rather secure environment. They have a security guard there.
Go to a restaurant till midnight, come back.
A mysterious security guard with
a pass. If it was me and there was no alcohol, I ain't rolling in there at 8. You know,
Well,
I'd roll in there at about, especially you and Rofo and Pony. You know, you arrive at like midnight.
A good boy.
Like, where's Beyonce?
Break everything.
I will have more details. I will have more details after I speak to my liaison.
No, you know, you have to be.
It's their rules,
clearly,
though. It is their rules.
And also, you know, this is. I certainly don't think that you want to be completely inebriated when you get there.
No,
I just think
you don't
want to
fall in the restroom.
No,
have you talked to Rofo and Pony about what they're wearing to sleep in?
I haven't. Pony,
Bunsies?
What are you going to be sleeping in?
Oh, just sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Nice.
Okay, now tight.
Silk ones.
See, this is where I am a producer. This is where I put my Cecil B. DeMille hat on.
Yes.
And you guys, just jeans, just gym shorts and a sweatshirt. No, we need pajamas.
Yes.
We need all of you to be in pajamas.
Matching
preferably
pajamas. Matching.
Thank you, Oz. Matching pajamas.
All me undies. Put it on the car, on the right. Company card. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. You should get the proper kind of PJs for this, just to make it better, you know. And I think that'll
matching
make it
is better.
Special.
You have Rob Ford behind you just by coincidence. Ask what he would like to sleep in.
Hey, Rob, what are you going to wear when you sleep at the museum?
Long johns.
Oh,
now,
funny.
I just took a trip to the Ponderosa.
Close that trap.
Now, see that you could just run out and grab the red, red long johns.
Yeah. I believe it's called a union suit.
How they'll photograph, but are you able to? I know they're going to feed you in the morning,
right?
But from if it's you. Well, I'll bring Rofo.
They'll be
Pony
snacks.
Will be fine, but will you be able to bring in snacks?
You know what? I would say this.
Did you ask about snacks?
Of the three people that we go that are going there, Pony is the biggest snacker. He's like a gerbil.
He eats like socially. You know how a dog will come and eat once in a while.
Grazing.
That's how he eats.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Pony
eats. Like the guard coming in the morning.
Papers everywhere.
Peanut shells.
Wrappers everywhere.
What are you going to do outside of just being around the figures? You're going to be, if you have to be there at 8 o'clock,
what kind
of entertainment do they have?
Well, they have free Wi-Fi.
You can be on your computers.
We can do that.
What about a Ouija board?
I will not do anything creepy. I might bring a deck of cards.
Pony, could you bring a Ouija board?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be
nice.
Great.
Nice.
Terrific.
How cool would that be? A Ouija board. That'd
talk
be fantastic.
To Elvis.
Yep.
That's good. Well, you need to get more information from them about what you can bring.
But the thing that needs to be laid down is that we are in. We are paid for.
That's so wonderful for our listeners and for everybody. I'm looking forward to the recap. And
the beautiful thing is that the 8 a.m. checkout, butts up nicely to a 9 a.m. show start. I'll be leaving Madame Tussauds and coming here.
How many, we'll sleep in.
How many above ground holes do you think they have in that restaurant?
At least four. Four.
That'd be fun.
And that's where you find God. Rob Ford's Long Johns.
So you're going to have an attendant there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice way
so
of
you're
saying
gonna
it.
So you're going to make the museum a restaurant after 8 p.m.
Exactly. Okay. A beautiful restaurant with food for miles.
I think you're an organized guy, and yeah. I think what you should do is perhaps lay out an itinerary that includes snacks, TV watching,
Truth or Dare,
and then bedtime, and the games, Ouija time, and just break it down. And of course, we all fall asleep first.
You put popcorn down their underwear.
We all have to spend time in the Madame Tussauds confessional.
Yes, that'll be very exciting. And here's what I'm wondering: you think they're going to sleep well? Do you think they'll sleep
no.
well? Or do you think they'll giggle all night like children?
Do you think there's a chance that if I do fall asleep when I wake up, Pony will be standing over me smiling?
Since this is an audio medium, and we can talk about this off the air, but the video will be fun.
Right.
But I think it would be interesting to have each one of them, and we have enough of them here, have like their own personal confessionals about things they hate about what's happening within
a la the reality TV show.
Yes.
And it can be an audio reality. Yes. I never knew Rob was I always thought Rob might be a light sleeper, but I didn't realize that when I heard the rustling in the sheets, you know, I mean, something like that.
Yeah. And you can't bring your CPAP machine, so you're going to snore.
That's right. I don't wear the CPAP anymore anyway, because it kept me awake.
Here's what I think we need to do. And this will be for the regular show on Monday. I think on Monday, if they're all going to be here, we excuse Rob and we have Ponyboy come in first, followed by Rob Ford. And then, you all give us your impressions of the evening.
Okay, I think
that's
valid.
And then maybe we can get a little video that we can put up, too.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a lot of fun. I think that would be very cool.
That is, if we all survive.
Ah!
If you do. Because you never really know. Because Rob will walk in and say, this looks like a really nice place. A nice place for murder! All right, we will take a break, come back with more fun. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
Easter's on the way. Why no? We don't all have time to go shopping. Or you do, and while you're online to pay, some old people push past you to get a soda by the register. But have no fear. Spring into savings by going to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click on the TMOS Shopping Center banner where you can buy your Easter bonnets at Macy's.com or candy and decorations at Target.com and Walmart.com. So hop down the bunny trail for your shopping needs today. Now let's head back to the Grand Marshal of our Easter Parade, Mike O'Mara.
Polly Christine, ladies and gentlemen. Polly Christine.
EC.
Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Brewmate. When Dylan Jacob turned 21, he quickly discovered that warm alcohol sucks.
True.
He hated it, so he created Brewmate, the fastest-growing drinkware brand. Why are you drumming and looking around like you're angry?
Am I angry? Why are you focused on me?
Because I see
just
you in your twitchy stuff.
You want to
leave?
Oscar, I'm enjoying the show.
Don't be defensive. I want to tell you a little something about Brewmate,
Mike. Dickish today. Honest to God. He created Brewmate. How's Brewmate liking this commercial?
Brewmate. I want to tell you something about Brewmate. I had my supper club over the weekend, and
what?
Brewmate makes growlers. And we
wish
had
I
this...
could be a dick during the show.
I'm not being a dick. You're projecting on me. I'm having a great time.
Wish I could look around and scowl when two guys are trying to do comedy.
Scowl? I'm not scowling.
Let me start again. When Dylan Jacob turned 21, he quickly discovered that warm alcohol sucks.
True.
So he created Brewmate, the fastest growing drinkware brand in the world. Brewmate products keep you keep your beer or wine or anything at the perfect temperature all day long without ice.
Mike, if you're one of the guys that likes to go to a pub and get a growler full of beer, mm-hmm. and I did this weekend with a beautiful 9.6 Doppelbock, it stayed cold all night.
Ooh.
And did not take up room in my fridge, and I could just walk around the party filling glasses, and it was amazing.
Over 30 colors and finishes to choose from, plus they're glass free. Brewmate products work with hot and cold beverages. Start the day with a steaming coffee and end the day with a cold brew in the same perfect vessel. Right now, Brewmate is giving our listeners a special discount of 15% off their first order when you go to brewmate.com and use our code TMOS. That's 15% when you use our code TMOS at brewmate.com. Don't let summer heat ruin your drink. Go to brewmate.com and beat the heat this summer. Remember, 15% off your first order by using the code TMOS at brewmate.com. That's brewmate.com and the code TMOS. All right, what's wrong with you today?
Mike, you can ask anyone in this room. I am not being a dick.
So you're just coming across that way on the camera.
I haven't said a single thing. If anything, I know. The guys in the background.
That's it.
Rob, honestly.
No, I didn't realize you were drumming your fingers.
Why do you go to Rob when you know he's not going to conflict
with
you?
But if you were drumming your fingers, that's not okay.
What is wrong with drumming fingers?
It makes noise.
It wasn't making any noise. I was going like this.
It indicates
disdain,
lack
boredom.
Of engagement, disdain, boredom, yes.
Who says?
Who says that indicates the world.
If anything, I'm very aware of my nonverbal communication.
What is one of your common comments that the people say about you on the show? Why is Oscar scowling?
Oh, because I have a resting bitch face. I've said that before.
Yes. So sometimes I ignore your RBF, but sometimes when you combine it with the disengaged drumming, then it,
okay, you can hear that. Can you hear this?
Rob, just talk and I will demonstrate what I was looking at.
Okay,
right?
So you're doing the commercial. The thing about Brewmate is it keeps the stuff absolutely cold and you don't have to keep your refrigerator full of anything.
First off, it's easy to pick on me because
it's easy to pick on you. What do you mean? I can't pick on you. I can pick on you like you can pick on me.
You just picked on me.
You pick on me.
Mike, if you must wonder why I'm looking around today, it's because there's construction going on in the studio, and I don't want that noise to transfer in here.
I told you at the beginning of the show, I can't hear anything. Yep. And I'm the arbiter because I can hear it on my end, and if I hear it, then the listeners hear it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to mitigate. If you can start hearing, I can tell someone to stop.
Don't worry about it. Just come in and do the show.
Contrary to your belief, I want to make sure that this broadcast is as tight as possible. And if that
What do you mean, what, that I think you're trying to ruin the broadcast?
No, that we don't care here, and we just let things happen willy-nilly, and we're not organized,
but we
are. I know
you don't. I think that the show is a tight ship. I'm talking about what I see with my own two eyes.
You're throwing off, I think, let me say this. Yes. Sometimes when you have your resting bitch face and your eyes are darting and your fingers are silently drumming, you're throwing off a vibe that is contrary to the mindset he wants to be in.
It's a different generation, Oscar.
Half the time, Rob sits there and it looks like he's not breathing. Does that bother you?
As I was and as I always have, just reach over and touch his neck. Engaged. That's the difference between me, a 40-year broadcast veteran, and you, that you weren't trained to do it.
I was not.
And it is something I was never really told, but I certainly
understood it. You had this innate talent and said, oh, this is what they want.
Had nothing to do with talent. It had everything to do with an intuitive understand. Now, that time I did hear something. Mm-hmm. Was there cutting or chopping in the background?
I think that might have been the road.
The road.
So, no, it's just if I'll be honest. If I was not focused, I would have been called on it. Yes. And when I started to work collaboratively, if I was looking out and in fact, part of my shtick would be when Rob or Don or anybody was telling a story that I was not engaged with, and I still do that bit with you guys, I look somewhere in the difference, and you go, Mike, and why do you do that, Rob?
Because it's funny.
But you notice it because it's
counter to what you are all the time.
I'm not sitting there. When you're telling a story, I'm looking at
Ike,
you.
When we're doing the show, I look at you. You were coming back from a spot. They were cutting up drywall behind us, and I was about to tell Pony via text, get them the hell out of that room because they're going to make noise. That's all it was.
Well, I was not coming back from anything. We were in the middle of the show. The middle of the show is whether I'm reading a spot or doing anything else. And the RBF, which yes. we talked about before, which yes. you know, that's been your tell forever. Mm-hmm. It's a combination. And you will fight to the death when I am right.
I will work on it, but I will say that it's a somewhat
it's not a question of working on it.
It's somewhat hypocritical because you have
why is it hypocritical?
Because you have you have people putting new floors in outside your door. You're like, hey, they're putting floors inside. You always talk about what's happening around you, and we can't talk about it.
To entertain.
Yes.
I do that.
But I don't have that luxury because I'm not running the show. So I can't be like, hey, these guys are cutting
drywall.
No, but
you could certainly, if you were sitting there and go, how many times have you referenced something that's happening off camera and you bring it to the fore and, you know, you know what I would be doing if I was you?
Yes.
If someone came up and had the leaf blower out.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I was sitting there, I'd be going like that. Instead, I'm going, excuse me, there's a jet engine from a 747.
You just got what I was talking about. If you're talking and you're coming back from a spot and I'm tapping my hands because I'm concerned and worried about that something's happening outside our window, I'm waiting for it to be a problem before I can address it. And you take it as me not being interested in the program, which hurts me because all I care about is this show. See, this is when I know you don't care anymore. You're done.
Mike,
what?
You're done.
Oscar's talking. You know, the guy with the scowl?
Which is why I ask everybody never to do construction during the day, during the show.
Well, who's doing the construction during the day then?
Well, I can't help it because our handyman's helper had a stroke yesterday and he couldn't come in and work. So he
a
had to come
one?
In this morning, a real one. He's in the hospital.
Oh, no.
That's no excuse. All right, anyway, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
The amazing thing, Mike, the stroke made no noise whatsoever.
You guys are the worst.
We are
poor
monsters.
Man's in a coma.
That's bad.
We are. Oh, no.
So sorry.
Okay, that's not
fun. Well, you got to let us
you
out.
You had to do that tip-in. Thanks for
yes!
that help, too.
Yes!
Jesus Christ. Throw some water on him. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need. You know, it was fine right up to the C word. And not the bad one. That's what he said.
Any C word, Mike. Anyone.
Wow. Unbelievable. We'll be right back.
Rob and Joe here.
Hey.
Joe, me and the girlfriend getting a little kinky trying to spice things up in the bedroom.
Are you going to have a safe word?
How does that work?
You know, if things go too far, well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
We'll role play. I'll be your girlfriend.
Ooh, fun.
All right, how about I tie you up?
Go on.
How about maybe a little candle wax?
Ooh, I like that.
All right, how about introducing some food? How about some strawberries,
yummy.
Whipped cream?
Yes.
How about this giant cucumber?
Speewack! Wait a minute, how giant? Rob and Joe Show, new episode every single week, robandjoeshow.com. Speewack!
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Did you see the post from Rob Mayer where he's appearing at a comedy club and then you know who comes in after him?
Oh,
Louis C.K.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's opening for Louis C.K.?
No, I don't think he's opening. I think his
same venue, though?
Right before, same venue, yeah. His dates are right there. His stand-up career is going really well,
yeah.
I think. Well, you know, we didn't really get a chance to talk with him, but he's on the bill with that guy from Anchorman.
Yeah,
all the time.
Keckner.
I forgot what his
David
name is.
David Keckner.
But, no, I think Rob Mayer's doing great. And I like it when his posts are funny.
Oh, he's a very funny man, yes.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Brook Linen. You spend a third of your life in your sheets, so don't you think it's time for a bedding upgrade? You deserve the best online bedding according to Good Housekeeping. I love this company.
Great.
I really, really do. They're the gold standard. If you haven't tried Brook Linen bedding, you really have to. It's brooklinen.com. I sleep on them every night. I think I've got two full sets of the Brook Linen stuff, and then there's one in between that I can always tell. And when the beds have been changed and I get into the non-Brook Linen bed, I kind of go... Brooklyn is great. They bring you. That's exactly how it goes down. What are we sleeping on tonight?
What is this?
Farmers?
Filth. We have to burn it.
Burn it.
Brooklinen.com eliminates the middleman, so you save sheets that feel great, look great, tons of colors and patterns to mix and match. So treat yourself to the five-star quality of Brooklinen. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code TMOS at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Towels. I forgot to get towels.
Like, I'm going
to
get towels from Brooklinen. Towels.
The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use the promo code TMOS at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code TMOS. Brooklinen, they really are the best sheets ever. And before I do the news, I figured it out with him.
What?
You know the thing we were talking about behind the scenes yesterday? And you know how he kind of did it today?
Yeah.
He like solved the problem yesterday.
Yeah, problem solver.
I didn't give him an attaboy on that. I didn't give him an attaboy.
You don't give me an attaboy on anything.
Yeah, but everyone loves an attaboy.
Did you read your birthday greeting? Did you read your birthday greeting?
You said it took you the minimal amount of effort.
It still was sincere.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Pony.
You're welcome.
You got a call after the he didn't.
He called me. He goes, I'm sorry about your birthday. I was like, I don't care, man. Just stick on the show. And hung up on him.
You know what? No, that's. I'm very happy with
very
what
sweet
you
of
did
yeah,
yesterday.
It was very sweet. It was sweet. Of
I was, but sweet. I'm happy with what you did yesterday, and that's an attaboy. Happy with that's. No,
it's my job, Mike.
I don't blow that off. That's immediate turnaround.
But I'm not even. That's what I do. Like you,
I know,
you know.
But I am.
Happen.
Yeah, but
I
now you're
happy.
Even being a dick because you're not accepting the compliment.
Accept the fact that I'm very happy
with
what
you did. This is what's concerning me. There is a mannequin in another room that is staring at me right now as we do this show.
Not a literal mannequin, is there?
I cannot
see. Who's that gentleman? Pony, name and rank. Ask that person.
What's your name again, sir? Philip. He's a visitor. I'm assuming Rob, he spoke with you.
I said
thanks for the detailed explanation. I've got to do the news. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We're not doing
news. News.
You need to blink, please.
News.
I have no idea what happened to the show today, but it's certainly entertaining. Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez have been engaged less than a month, and they have already been a couple. There have been a couple of allegations of infidelity
on
his part.
Mm-hmm.
They might be fabricated, but we don't know. He's got a reputation. J-Lo, apparently, this is once again sourced anonymously, so we're not sure. J-Lo isn't taking any chances. The not always reliable In Touch Weekly.
That's a great magazine of record for the show?
They claim that before she marries him, she wants a prenup with a no cheating clause.
Isn't that the marriage?
Doesn't every prenup have a no cheating clause, I thought?
I don't think they do.
And the wedding vows themselves are sort of the prenup no cheating clause.
That's not legally binding.
Have a prenup. There is no cheating clause in there.
You dodged a bullet.
You know what? In my particular case, I'm more worried. Look at her, you know, and how could I deprive her? A woman that handsome.
Huh? My prenup has a no cheating clause, but it only refers to board games.
Thank you. Monopoly.
She doesn't. Don't let her be the banker.
Boulder Dash.
There's
Scrabble.
A lot of the story. You don't move on after that. You can't do it. No cheating clause, only board games. You are such a dork. All right. Thank you very much. James Corden says that chubby actors. I know you don't like him, but this is funny. James Corden says that chubby actors never get any good sex scenes.
Ooh.
He said, quote, if an alien had to take a reading on planet Earth by just watching movies or TV, they'd imagine that if you're chubby or fat or big, you never really fall in love. You never have sex. Certainly no one really ever finds you attractive. You will be good friends with people who are attractive and often will be a great sense of comfort to them and perhaps chip in with the odd joke every now and then. Does it seem like James is perhaps not being funny but really concerned with this?
Well,
it's a little ridiculous.
I think he is never funny, so that's sort of a given. But also, I think maybe he wants to see some action because maybe he's not getting any in real life.
We've had many surveys over the years, but I think collectively what I would tell you is I've been reading these surveys forever and ever and ever, and it would be my opinion that women are less about what they see than men. That's just been a kind of consistent.
I kind of count on it.
Well, I count on it too.
Yes.
You know? Because I know what they say up here at Cocoonville when I walk in, you know? And, you know, she was wearing this dress that she wore when we went on vacation. And she came up over the weekend and I had all my mates up there on Friday night.
Right.
And it was almost, it was interesting because they, you know, she makes a statement when my wife walks into a room.
They know you
wanted
life.
And it was just, I don't know. I felt, I feel fatter
like that,
when that
Mike.
Happens.
Yeah.
No, this is true. Well, we don't like to talk about it. Remember how the 200, there's no way of getting out of that. There's absolutely no way.
You hit that stager and you move forward.
I should have, you know what? I should have turned it up louder.
Yeah.
I would have said, you know, so she shows up. Why did I even bring that up? Thank you.
Thanks.
Remember how the 200-year-old oak tree from the Shawshank Redemption had to be cut down years ago after being damaged in the storm? Well, now the wood from that tree is being turned into some high-end furniture.
Ooh.
Several tables are being made, and there's already one potential buyer who's a huge fan of the movie. He's reportedly agreed to pay $65,000 for a big table.
Wow.
And has already dropped $24,000 on two other smaller ones from the same tree. You know, if that goes to something to help somebody or do that, I'm okay with it. If it's going into somebody's pocket, I'm not sure. That's a little silly to spend that kind of money for furniture. But the setup piece table includes stills from the movie, including shots of Andy and Red, and has an inscription that says, "You dumbass, you just spent $65,000 on a piece of wood. You could have gotten it any Home Depot."
You know what you can put on that table, Red?
Yes.
Six ice cold bottles of beer.
Yeah, they just want some suds. That's right. Man stands outside putting tar on a roof when he just wants to feel like a man. I like that tree. I cut it up. Sold the furniture, $65,000. Sold it at us. And he spent that money and now he can hardly read.
I'd like to see the papers on that, by the way. That might not be the same wood.
The inscription says, "Crafted from the Shawshank Oak Tree." You dumbass. No, I didn't put the dumbass.
And Mike, they show pictures of that table on the TNT network every 3 hours.
Thank you very much. God, I love that movie, though.
It's on all the time. He's absolutely
right.
It's on always. Yeah, I'll watch it.
We'll not watch it with commercials. There's a company called Chef Club that creates videos of recipes. Please, if you two have not seen this, go look at it.
Okay.
Because you have to look at the video. It's called Chef Club. They have recipes, and their video is for chicken cordon bleu. It's on Facebook, and it has gone insanely viral because, frankly, it looks like porn. If they didn't do it
Mike,
on purpose.
Not only have I seen it, I got a literal head thump from Shannon because it was just on my Facebook feed.
Yes.
It was open. She says, "Thump, Rob, what are you looking at?" I said, "I'm not looking at anything. It's a thing. I didn't do it."
In the video, the way they prepare the chicken breasts makes them look like a body part.
Mm-hmm.
You know which one. First, they split the chicken breast down the center and use their fingers to open them up. That's the most. It's just, then they stuff some ham in the slits.
Yeah, they do.
Then they pour some cream on top. It's so funny.
It's
I just know they
food
had
video.
To do. Oh, God. The recipe's going for 27 million views. That's around 50 times more views than their average videos get there.
Mike, 250,000 of those views are from Matt Bloom.
What are they doing now at that? How big is that for this like website that has these things? If they get that moment,
that's a once in a year moment. If your entire business is built on trying to create one of these videos,
right?
That's a pretty. So, amazing.
Yeah, it's like a Haley's Comet.
Exactly. And, once in a lifetime.
Max got it on its homepage. Are you better looking than your significant other? This seems to be the theme of today. If so, is that really a good thing? According to a new survey, 12% of people say they're more attractive than their significant other. 18% say their partner is better looking. And 34% say they're equally attractive. The rest either don't know or don't have a significant other. For what it's worth, men are more than twice as likely to say their partner is more attractive than they are. Well, I certainly established that a minute. And we
just
all
have nose hair.
More attractive people.
Well, except, of course, for Pony.
That's right. Pony boy Matt Blum.
His dolls.
And now a little something, cutlet. Something. The cops in Tulsa, Oklahoma were doing a traffic stop on Saturday night when suddenly they saw someone missing a right front tire fly past them. She was driving on a rim. So they went after her. It turned out it was 28-year-old Amy Dillon. I'm sorry, I pronounced that incorrectly. It's Amy Dillion.
Dillion, of course. Yeah.
She told the cops she'd only had a couple of tequila shots, but a few things gave away that she was lying.
Oh, no.
One, she was driving on a rim.
Yeah.
Two, she could barely stand up and failed a bunch of sobriety tests. And three, the cops found a full margarita in her cup holder. In her cup holder. She wound up blowing a .21 on the breathalyzer. Oof. She was arrested on many charges, and they are still investigating what she did to lose the rim or to lose the tire and just have the rim. My only question is whether or not there was salt on the rim. Am I right, ladies? A little margarita humor. There we go. That one popped right into my brain.
I didn't take
any time at all to write that kicker. Thank you very much. Salt on the rim. Yeah. Sometimes coarse, sometimes thin. Other drinks, they put sugar on the rim.
Sugar!
Man, oh man. Love margaritas now. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back with more fun. The Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's me, intern Dahlia. You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. In America, we pay for things because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with the hammer and sickle. Do you, our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Pay for your entertainment like a red-blooded American should. Thank you.
I like Dahlia. I don't even know Dahlia. I'm in love with Dahlia based on the promo.
Great batch this year of interns. Very proud of them all.
Is she the bitch turn?
She's the bitch turn.
Oh, my God. That woman's got to get on this show. I love it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by the TMOA Shopping Center. You think you're so smart, don't you?
Yeah, Oscar. Huh?
Mr. Big Shot.
What a dick.
Because here's what you always do. Whenever you need something, you immediately run over to Craigslist and buy some disgusting used thing. And arrange for some sweaty handshake deal in a Denny's parking lot. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Right now.
You're so much better than that. So buy things that are new and nice.
New.
Don't involve a quasi-legal transaction that puts your life in danger.
Right.
Shop at the TMOS store. Anything you need, and I mean anything, can be acquired without any shady behavior at the TMOS Shopping Center, which just happens to be the topic of this announcement. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right, Yoda?
Right. Right you are.
The TMOS Shopping Center is on our website. It gives you unfettered access to Walmart, Target, and Macy's. This is internet shopping at its finest. Not only do you get all the stuff you love, but you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. Costs you nothing, means the world to us. Shop, shop, shop till you drop. But don't drop your pants. In your pants.
In his pants. Mm-hmm.
And now let's open up the Audio Vault. What a show. Jesus, I feel like I've done 12 today. Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019.
Mike, you talked about how you don't like some of the big corporate April Fool's jokes. You want to hear a couple of them from yesterday? And the thing
I had it on the show prep today. What did I write down here? Food companies that do April Fool's jokes. Not funny. Like, I saw the ramen noodle Oreo. Oreo really has the marketing department that tries to do that the most. Right.
Okay, so it's
April Fool's.
These are two. One I like better than the other. Starbucks did a major rollout. And the thing is I saw it and I didn't even strike me as that unlikely as being for April Fool's.
Pupbucks is a new concept store we're launching exclusively for dogs. We see how much our customers love dogs, so we wanted to offer a Starbucks experience just for them. Working at Pupbucks is a little different than any other Starbucks store I've worked at, I think. The clientele is a bit more unpredictable. Oh, but they do always come when their name is called.
Pupbucks, it was Starbucks for dogs.
I'd like a Pupbucks at the bottom of this building.
I like anything at the bottom of this building.
Have they put anything in yet?
Yeah, tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds.
That's it. Empty.
They're waiting for the liquor license to clear on this new coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
How long is that going to take? I'm curious.
Well, it's D.C. government, so it should move pretty fast.
You want me to call some of my Greek friends?
Oh,
move it through?
Yes. Right. Push it through. Now,
this is the one I liked, because you don't think of Timex as a company with a tremendous sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But the Timex watch company put this out, and this went pretty viral yesterday.
Timex.
a global leader in watchmaking for 165 years, has done the impossible. Imagine if you could add 1 hour to every day for the rest of your life.
We have always worked 24/7 to innovate. And now, we work 25/7.
That's funny.
Time.
That is
It
funny.
Is the most valuable resource mankind has ever known.
Good voice.
Yeah.
And now, there is suddenly more time. Introducing the Timex 25th Hour.
So what they did is they said it's a new watch that gives you another hour every day, but they made it look like a European. Yes. Like, oh, it's so great. It's a
you
good
know
ad.
All I'm hearing when I hear that?
What?
I'm hearing his studio that I want my studio to sound
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Timex.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
All you need is time.
All right, sorry. All right, Mike, trouble in Nigeria.
Hi, Robin.
I invented that.
I'm Howard Stern. All right, I'm sorry.
The Nigerian Minister of Agriculture had a press conference saying that the problem with Nigeria is they're not cooking enough food at home and they're doing too much takeout. But he actually took it to the next level. He says there are rich Africans that are importing pizza from London because there's no good pizza places in Nigeria.
But there are also Nigerians who would rather have the imported item. It shows status. It shows, you know, class.
It shows status.
They only eat imported this, imported that. And when you touch these things, the furor is as terrible as the fire of hell. They are angry with you. Do you know, sir, there are Nigerians who use their cell phones to import pizza from London. Buy in London, they bring it on British Airways in the morning to pick up at the airport. Pizza, as ridiculous as it is.
And it can't possibly still be hot to fly it all the way in on you know, air.
Pizza. Yeah, but New York pizza is New York pizza. They have food companies all over, you know, America.
They'll do that. Sure.
You know, from that particular city.
Does he want to tax the pizza?
Well, what I love is the fact that he says it shows status. There are people with cell phones. Oh, the people with cell phones. Been fancy schmancy. And they're getting their pizza brought in.
A lot of the banking is done on cell phones in Africa because it's the most secure way to pay. Much we pay people on Venmo now these days.
I know a prince over there that I send money to.
Yeah.
And I send it via my phone. That's how he contacted me.
I just got sad. I miss the Timmy. Nigerian I miss Timmy Obibane. What a shame. What a great guy he was. You know,
good fellow.
We should have said
great
more guy. About him. But I mean, we had a guy from Nigeria for years and years that we all worked together with. I used to party with the guy. He took me to more nightclubs than probably anybody ever worked with, places I never would have gone if I didn't have Timmy Obibane next to me. And I miss the guy. I truly do. What a
hey,
great
Mike,
guy.
Hey, Mike, I'll have another Stoli on ice.
Gone way too soon. Way too
good,
soon.
Good guy. Good guy.
Good man.
Let us close with this. Mike, are you still getting most of your news from KWCH3 in Wichita?
I have it on my, there's an icon for it right here on my computer. It's first thing I check in the morning.
This story shows two things. First of all, it's always good when an anchor makes sure his co-anchor reads a particular story because of the topicality. But the big picture here is when you're in public and you say something, make sure people know what you mean. Because words can have two meanings, right?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize about the sound quality. You'll be able to understand it, but it's a capture from a phone.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? To Ethan now, please.
No.
We're going to have to go to a commercial.
No, we're going to get it. We're going to get it.
Get through it, lady.
All right. We can do this.
I like the fact that the anchor man said, yeah, let her read that one.
That has been around for months.
Yeah,
that
but has it, been it out there just for darkened months. My door, I and it. I wanted to make
somebody
sure we
said
had
it to you.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay,
it is
funny.
It's good stuff.
And I got a better clip when I got it a long time ago. I don't know why we didn't play it before now, but fixing to blow it up.
Yeah, fixing to blow it up.
Fix it. I'm fixing to blow it up. I'm dropping a bomb in here.
Mike, that's our lead story from our Wichita News Network, and that's your magic audio ball. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Another one in the can. Get it?
Ah!
Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. We never got to our yaks today. I had a couple as teases. We'll have more yaks on
the
show.
Let's yak tomorrow.
Let's yak tomorrow. 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673. If you've got a message you'd like to leave in our Yak Shack, please, we will be talking to the peoples tomorrow. And remember the bonus show. Get the bonus show. Please do that. And our mailbag, great one today. Send it to Rob with two B's at MikeOmaraShow.com. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Get out, and don't come back until you've redeemed yourselves.
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Goodbye.